You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
This morning, we're really grateful to have a Student Stories Chapel. I know you are always excited to hear from one another. And as we have this time together this morning, there will be mentions of suicidal ideation, of drug use, and abuse. So we want you to know what is coming forth later this morning.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I hope you all are having a wonderful Monday and that your fall break was restful. If you don't know me, my name is Lily Ann Reinhardt, and I get the privilege of being the Student Stories Ministry intern. And it's my favorite job that I think I've ever had because I get to just sit with anybody who comes forward with a story and I get to hear how God has impacted their life. Today we get the privilege of hearing two of those stories from our friends Aaron and Josiah. They have come out of a place of vulnerability to tell you how the Lord is moving. I know that they care about each and every one of you deeply, and their desire for today is that their stories will impact your life as well. As I was reading for this morning, a verse came into my mind, a couple verses actually. The first one is from 1 Peter 5. It's verse 6 through 7 that says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And then the second one, is 1 John 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all of our sin." Both of these stories talk about anxiety and sin and fear and the weight that has been lifted when they come into full community with God. God is inviting each and every one of us to step into deeper relationship with him, and this is such a wonderful time of reflection on how that is possible no matter where you are in life. So today I hope that you open your hearts to hear what both Aaron and Josiah have to say. And I just hope that it is an enriching time for each and every one of you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, I'm so grateful for this day. I'm so grateful for all that you have planned for it, Lord. We know that you have gone before us and you have ordered our steps. God, I pray now that we would surrender to you, that we would seek first your kingdom and know in full assurance that everything else will be added to us in the future. Lord, I pray that you would calm the hearts of those speaking today, that you would give them peace and confidence that everything they say is exactly what you have ordained, God. And I just pray all of this in your matchless mighty name. Amen.
There is a lot of you out there. Hi, my name is Erin Mitchum. I'm a sophomore, a part of the Beloved class. And today I get the honor of sharing a portion of my testimony and how God has worked in my life. I grew up as a pastor's kid, so I was born and raised in the church, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized when I was 9 years old. I was a really healthy, active kid with no real medical issues. However, when I was growing up, I didn't really understand what it meant to have a personal relationship with God, or what that looked like in a day-to-day life. On March 28th of 2019, I was in the eighth grade, my life changed forever. I started experiencing these unknown medical issues that would eventually be called episodes that mimicked seizures, but they weren't seizures, so figure that one out. These episodes started happening every day, if not multiple times a day, and they were physically very draining on my body, and we didn't know why they were happening or for what reason. As a result of these happening so frequently, I was launched into a whirlwind of doctor's appointments and to try and figure out what was wrong with me. Through a ton of doctor's tests, it was recommended that I do a hearing test. And at the age of 14, I discovered that I needed hearing aids because I had failed the low pitch portion of my hearing test, which is not what any 14-year-old wants to hear. At that time, I was initially very upset by this news just because I didn't think hearing aids were cool and they were only for old people, but eventually I got over it and I started learning sign language and I embraced the Heart of Hearing and Deaf community. Additionally, through the results of blood work, I discovered that I have some autoimmune diseases, which basically I get sick really easily. But when my episodes started, my emotional health started declining really rapidly. If you know me at all, you know I'm a planner, I'm very organized, I am very independent, and I do not like to be viewed as weak. I'm a small person, but I don't like to be viewed as weak, and my episodes made me feel as if I was weak and I was vulnerable, and I had no control over anything that I was doing. And so, during these episodes, I started getting bullied really badly at school and was openly mocked several times, and I lost a lot of friends in addition to pushing some of my close friends away. In October of 2019, so just a few months after my episodes had started, I was officially diagnosed with depression and placed on antidepressants. A month later, in November of 2019, I attempted to take my own life because I was burdened by what my life had become, and I couldn't bear every day. I remember when I gained consciousness that I felt this heaviness in my heart of just how could I live every day not knowing what was going on with me and why this was happening. As I entered into 2020, I continued to feel so alone because I had no real friends, or so I thought, and of course COVID didn't help with that any. And my faith was struggling. From the beginning of 2019 through 2020, my faith and belief in God was almost non-existent. Again, I was raised a Christian, but when I was going through something in my life that I needed God the most, it seemed as if He wasn't there. I still attended church every Sunday and every Wednesday. However, my unbelief was greater than my attendance. I felt as if God had abandoned me, and I became very angry at Him, and I ultimately ended up doubting His presence, His abilities, His love, everything. In October of 2020, just a little over a year and a half after all my medical issues had started, I attended a church event with my youth group. At the end of the service, could not tell you what the sermon was about, a youth pastor got up on stage and he stated that you might be feeling like God has abandoned you or you're doubting God's presence and His abilities, but I want you to close your eyes and imagine God's hand reaching down to you. In that moment, I followed through and I closed my eyes, and for the first time in a year and a half, I experienced God's presence and I saw God's hand in front of me. And I don't know how to explain that to you all, but it was just so clearly God that I rushed to the altar and I was just like weeping. And my youth group immediately followed me up there, surrounding me with community, and were praying over me. I wasn't praying when I was at the altar, but I was simply just crying because of what my life was and everything I had gone through so far. A few minutes later, my youth group had shifted in prayer to another individual in the youth group who had hurt me really deeply during this time, and I had harbored a lot of hurt and unforgiveness towards this person. And I remember seeing them crying at the altar and having compassion for them, so I laid a hand on them, and I prayed a prayer that involved forgiveness, but more importantly, it involved belief in God. I believed that God could do the things I was praying for Him to do in this person's life. But for some reason, when it came to my life, I didn't believe that God could do that. While I was praying, I felt God touch my body. The best way I can describe this to you is, you know when you drink water and you're like, this is some good water, like this is nice, refreshing water? Imagine how that would feel, like a nice, cool water. It felt like that was being poured over my body from head to toe, and that this physical burden I was carrying had been lifted. And very confidently, for a 15-year-old, I turned to my friend and I was like, I think God has healed me. And we're like crying, laughing, tears of joy, whatever. And I am proud to say that today, October 21st, 2024, marks 4 years since God has physically healed my body and performed a miracle in my life. I have not had an episode since, and I no longer take antidepressants or struggle with depression anymore. That year and a half that I struggled with my medical issues was by far the worst year and a half of my life, but it was also the best. It taught me what a personal relationship with God was supposed to look like and the importance of that, and going to Him daily in scripture and worship and prayer and seeking Him. And it taught me the importance of prayer. When I was struggling during that year and a half, I went to God in prayer, but it was like, why God, why me, why, instead of God, I'm confused, help. I didn't conquer my medical issues, God did through me. My favorite Bible verse is Romans 8:37, which says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And God did that through me. He conquered those issues through me. I know that sometimes it can feel hard to trust God when a situation in our life seems to consume us. And for a year and a half, I was consumed and I was drowning. But it was me finally taking a step towards God and being like, "God, I recognize that you're real," that God restored me. I would like to say that while God has physically healed my body and I no longer have the episodes or struggle with my mental health, I still wear hearing aids. I've worn them for about 5 years now, and through that 5 years, it has been a struggle, but it has also been wonderful. I've been left out of conversations, I've been made fun of, but I have been able to quite literally have quiet time with God and and enjoy his presence. And I have the very cool ability that if someone's annoying me, I can just take out the hearing aids and not hear them. Ask my dad, I do it all the time. From the beginning of 2019 to the end of 2020, my faith and belief in God was tested in profound ways. But ultimately, I'm so thankful that I went through that because it shaped me into the woman I am and the daughter of the King that I am. And it placed my identity in Jesus and not in what I was going through at that time. I know that maybe some of you have never faced sickness in your life and had a cough in your life, and some of you might be struggling with illness or maybe a family member. But no matter what the situation in your life may be, whether it is illness, whether it is hurt, confusion, anger, whatever, to just go to God in that and to be humble and submit yourself to him. With that being said, I would like to close us in prayer. Please bow your heads with me. Abba, we come today before you humbly. Thank you for a new day where fellow believers get to gather here together to worship and magnify your name. I am thankful for this opportunity to testify of your goodness and healing in my life. I pray that the words I spoke today gave glory to your name and that the students were impacted and touched by your presence. Lord, I pray for Josiah as he shares of your glory in his life. He has a truly incredible testimony, and I'm so excited that he gets this opportunity to magnify you. I pray that the words he speaks come from the Spirit and that the students here are impacted in mighty ways as they hear of your goodness. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Morning, guys. How was everyone's fall break? Yeah, pretty restful. So I've shared my testimony before. Last year, I shared it at a WAM service. And one thing that I took away from it was that I get very nervous when talking in front of a bunch of people. And it's really funny because I shared my testimony, and my roommate now at the time, Trent Maggart, I go off the stage, and he's like, "Dude, you did a great job. Were you really hot?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he just lifts up my arm, and there was a football-sized pit stain. And so that was utterly humiliating, but I wore a lighter shirt and lathered up with deodorant, so let's hope that doesn't happen today. I grew up in a small town in Indiana called Upland, in the middle of nowhere, Indiana, just like one more in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. And I was raised as a Christian. My parents are absolutely amazing. They pointed me to Jesus. We went to church every single Sunday. That was an expectation because I kind of lived under the roof. And while growing up, I could answer all the Jesus questions, but I didn't know who Jesus was. In middle school, I was bullied because I'm very short compared to other people. I was bullied because, I don't know, they just wanted to. And it brought a lot of insecurity in me. We moved my freshman year of high school, and from a town that I once knew as home and a house that I knew as home, friends that I knew as home, a soccer team that I knew as home, it was all gone. So moving down to Georgia, Powder Springs, Georgia, it's just west of Atlanta, everything was new. It was a new home, it was a new school. I had to make new friends. It was a new soccer team, it was a new church. Everything was new, and it was so weird and odd, and I couldn't grasp it. But prior to moving to Georgia, the reason why we moved down there, my dad got a new job, and that moved us to the country of Aruba. Does anybody know where Aruba is? Raise your hand if you know where Aruba is. It's a small little country just north of Venezuela. So we moved down there for my dad's job, and it was like the vacation of a lifetime. We were 1 mile from the beach, got to swim with sea turtles, and it was amazing. The beach is where I find the most peace and the most rest. So in Georgia, growing up in a massive high school, I isolated myself. I distanced myself from making friends. I was very quiet on my soccer team. At church, I didn't really want to be a part of the youth group at all. And so my sophomore year of high school was spending most of my time alone. My entire sophomore year of high school, I ate lunch by myself every single day. Then junior year, it was COVID. And for many of us, we've had different COVID experiences, right? A lot of us have been alone or with family. It was hard. My senior year was a blur. I did a lot of dual enrollment classes, so I wasn't plugged into my high school. And I never had a true sense of purpose or identity in anything. But I had a mask on. I was like, I'm a Christian, right? My parents are a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. But I just still felt empty inside. The end of my senior year, I made a friend. And that friend was so fun. He gave me so much confidence. He was very popular, so there were some perks to that. But with that, there was influence. Influence to dive into worldly things, to chase after worldly pleasures. And with that, I did a wide variety of drugs. Drank a lot of alcohol, went to a lot of parties, done lots of lustful actions. And I can say that here with confidence this morning because it's not who I am anymore. So it wasn't just after my senior year, it was my freshman year here at Asbury that I struggled with it, trying to numb myself, trying to escape. I was abused by the church from 11 to 14. And so I tried to just numb my mind, to forget, to have it go away with this drug or this drink. And it didn't work. It just dug me a deeper, deeper hole. But soccer was a big idol in my life. That's where I put a lot of my identity, a lot of my performance, a lot of my time. And coming here, I thought that was going to fit it all. That's the only reason why I came to Asbury, was because of soccer. But it didn't work out the way that I expected. And so coming into my sophomore year here at Asbury, I was thinking I was going to drop out. I was going to drop out. I was going to move back home. I was going to try to find a job and work, or considering transferring. I didn't know what to do. I was so confused. I was literally in Johnson just pacing back and forth on the phone with my parents, like, what do I do? I don't know where to go. I don't know what to think. And my parents were like, dude, why are you so worried? Like, you're there for a reason. And as soon as I hung up, I ran out to the new turf field, and I just started running on the track. Running really clears my mind. Or when I have rough days, I go out and I run. And I ran about a mile, and I go to the middle of the soccer field, very symbolic. I go to the middle of the soccer field, and I just look up towards the night sky. And I just am filled with anger, and I'm just like, God, why did you make me? What's my purpose here on this earth? What is even reality? Are you even real? And then I just fell on my face and started weeping. I hadn't cried in like a year. I thought, you know, guys don't cry. We're supposed to just tough it out. Thug it out is what everyone says. We're supposed to put all of our hard things in a sack and sling it over our shoulder and just march through life. But I had enough. I hit a rock bottom. And I called my mom, and I was unable to speak. And I met James Ballard at WGM, and he just embraced me with the most warming hug while just bawling my eyes out like my little sister. And he asked me one question after I confessed a lot of sins to him. He was like, Josiah, dude, where do you find peace? You sound so worried and unsettled. And there's a lot on your shoulders. Like, dude, where do you find peace? And I told him, I was like, the beach. The very next day, Dr. Dan Lewis, Can we give a shout out to Dr. Dan Lewis? He's in. He sent me a link to a set apart retreat at Panama City Beach. And I was like, okay, this is wild. So I signed up for it, knowing that I had soccer and I got in trouble for it. But I went on the retreat. The morning of, on the bus ride, I'm sitting in the back, isolating myself with my earbuds in. It's 6 a.m., granted, so I'm exhausted and just grumpy. But where is he? Andrew Tai gets on the bus, and he was just so loud and obnoxious. And he is an awesome guy. He was so loving, dapping people up. And I was like, if this guy gets anywhere close to the back of the bus, I'm going to flip. But he walks all the way back and sits down right beside me. And he starts asking me questions. And he was being so loving. And that opened me up to Christ's friendship. The very next day, there's a devotion in Psalm 51. And the verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 51 screamed at me. They say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And as I'm doing this devotion, I'm sitting on the beach, and I'm like, where has my heart been? Where has my spirit been? I grew up in the church, and I used to be very confident. But then things that happened to me, and then decisions that I made, things that I abused, I felt lost. And that very night, there was a sermon preached that Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. And I wrote down in my journal, I said, Josiah, Jesus has been knocking at the door of your heart your whole life. And maybe you accepted him when you were younger, when you were 5. But then the things that you did and the things that happened to you, you shut the door on him. Or you were just hiding in the house. You were up in the attic in a ball. And I said, Josiah, it's now finally time to open the door and to let him in. And when they asked, does anyone want to open the door and let Jesus in? I was like, I just wrote that down. Yes, absolutely. People put their hands over me. And as I'm reciting the prayer to let Jesus back in, I start shaking and uncontrollably crying. And as my eyes are closed and I'm reciting this prayer, I see a vision. I truly see a vision. My eyes were shut. They were black. And then photo after photo after photo, like a film, get popped into my mind of sins that I've done, moments from my childhood, things that have happened to me that have hurt me, areas where I've been lonely, just pictures getting flashed one by one. And as I say amen, there's this big wave that comes up and washes over all of the films. I sit down in my chair in awe, and I start running around just introducing myself to people, so excited to get to know them, just to talk with them. It was so different. I got baptized that Saturday, and that old Josiah, he died in that sea, and I got brought alive because of Jesus, by his grace. And so I'm wondering here this morning if any of you guys can relate. We're all broken people. We're all hurting. A lot of us have done horrible things, things that we're carrying guilt and shame, even right now. There's things that have been done to us that have hurt us, and we're carrying that. Maybe we're confused, we're worried, we're anxious. The next stages of life, I'm a senior. I don't know what life looks like soon. I'm a freshman, I'm still trying to figure stuff out. Where do I go? What do I do? What do I say? How do I act? Whether you're following Jesus or you're not, he still wants you. He is pursuing you. So I have a simple question. What do you want more of? What do you want more of? Do you want more material things like clothes, nicer cars, more money? Do you want more affirmation from people on social media? Do you want more likes or follows or people to compliment you? What do you want more of? Do you want more joy? Do you want more peace? Peace that no matter what happens, you're at rest. Do you want hope? That no matter what happens in this life, no matter the things that you do, where you work, that this life is going to pass away and that you get to spend an eternity with Jesus in heaven? What do you want more of? You guys bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for today. There's never going to be another day like October 21st, 2024. Lord, I pray for those in this room that are carrying chains and burdens and have questions. Jesus, would you meet them in their guilt, in their shame, in their struggle, in their confusion, in their hopelessness? Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for dying on the cross for our sake. It's in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.